Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids. As an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. On the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
It's 8:50 and time for our first look at the commodity markets for the day. With our pre-opening report, here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Wednesday morning, everyone. The Midwest direct hog markets today are called weak to $1 per hundredweight lower on ample hog supplies and weaker wholesale pork prices. Terminals are called steady to lower with tops from $45 to $47 today. Peoria called steady with a top price of $45. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Tuesday, September 19th, voluntarily reported negotiated swine purchases were 15,062 for the base market hog. On a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $58 to $69. The weighted average was $66.44, a loss of $1.71 from Monday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $44.88 to $54.50, and the weighted average was $51.27. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 15,424. The base price range was $58.50 to $68.50. The weighted average, $65.50, a loss of $1.21 from Monday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $45.75 to $53.38, and the weighted average was $50.42.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is AM 580's Mike Sola. And Mike, I heard you talk to Dan earlier today about possible weather over the weekend. I suppose that should slow down work in the fields as well?
It definitely will slow down work in the field across most of the corn and soybean belt, looking for widespread coverage at one time or another, starting up Thursday to our west and lasting all the way in through Sunday off to the east. This morning there were some reports of temperatures down to the freezing mark, and possibly across the upper Midwest. I have not seen any actual numbers from portions of northwestern Iowa in through the eastern Dakotas or Minnesota, but there may be some temperatures that bottomed out this morning in the upper 20s. I do have a list in front of me, and I'm going through it. Independence Airport in western Missouri down to 32 degrees, 34 in Monticello, Iowa, 38 degrees at Bellevue, so in Stanley in northeastern Iowa, 31 degrees. Again, this is the list that just came in, so just scanning down and trying to find some of the areas that may have had some frost this morning. Across Illinois and Indiana, well, Indiana was shielded by the cloud cover, so temperatures there stayed generally in the 40s and even some locations in the low 50s for a low this morning. Off to the west and west central Illinois, Jacksonville was right around the freezing mark there at 34 degrees this morning. So no hard freezes across our immediate area. There may have been some locations west of the Mississippi that did drop down. In fact, we did find one that dropped to the freezing mark, and there may have been some, again, some upper 20-degree readings in northeastern South Dakota. So probably no permanent crop damage. There may be some premature falling of the leaves across the area, but it looks like the threat of any damaging cold weather is starting to move out, and that will be replaced by the threat of rain. And again, that precipitation will be coming in and sticking around for a while, slowing down field work for, well, it could last into, well, next week, and then we have another weather system that will be heading towards us towards the middle and end of next week. There will not be a substantial drying in between the systems because temperatures will be a little bit on the cool side. So the weather pattern is expected to continually slowly evolve over the next couple of weeks and gradually increase rain frequency and amount. Again, that first rain event slated for this weekend, another one for next weekend, and that will cause some big problems for those trying to get out into the field and harvest the crop right now. A brief break in the precipitation occurring before the next disturbance moves from northwest to southeast across the Midwest during the middle to latter portion of next week. And then the mid to late week rain event next week precedes a much cooler temperatures and should produce the greatest rain amounts and coverage across the eastern Midwest. So a couple of concerns. The first one, dodging this first round frost. The second one being the increased rain. And then the next cold air mass coming in. So all eyes will be to the north and to the west over the next couple days. And South America, where field work is just getting ready to get into gear there. In Argentina, most of the moisture, they did have some rain from Cordoba into Entre Rios yesterday. Most areas reporting less than a quarter inch, and most of the moisture was not great enough to make a significant difference in soil or crop conditions. The weather pattern changes are expected to slowly evolve over the next couple weeks, gradually increasing rain frequency and amounts in Argentina as well. A first rain event slated for Friday into Saturday, with another Thursday and Friday of next week, with a third rain event slated for early October. If all three events occur as forecast right now, some gradual improvement in the crop and field working conditions will occur in Argentina. For Brazil, increasing soil moisture and cooling will provide favorable conditions to many center-south crop areas over the coming week. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In the Tuesday overnight trading session, Kansas City December wheat opened at 480.5, down a quarter, last trade up 1.5. March 488, down a quarter, last trade up 3.25. At the Board of Trade, December wheat opened at 410, up 1, last trade up 2.5. March 427, up 1, last trade up 3.75. July 441, unchanged, last trade up 2. December corn opened at 246.5, unchanged, last trade up 1.5. March 260, down a quarter, last trade up 1.25. May 267.75, unchanged, last trade up 3/4. July 275, down a quarter, last trade up 3/4. Redline December 288.75, down 1.75, last trade up 1. December oats opened at 203.75, up 3/4, last trade unchanged. November beans opened at 543.75, down a half, last trade up 1.75. January 557.25, unchanged, last trade up 1.5. March 568, down 3/4, last trade up a half. July 587.5, down 1, last trade up a half. October soybean meal opened at 162.30, up 20, last trade up 60. October soybean oil opened at 24.25, up 2, last trade down 8. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities. He is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Clayton.
Hey, good morning, Dave.
Does the wheat market have any leftover buying energy from yesterday's spree?
Looks like we have a little bit. Last night it perked up. These hit 413, so a couple cents above yesterday's high, and pulled off there a little bit, but still finished, like you just said, 2.5 higher. So the earlier calls are something like 1-3 better. So looks like we'll test those levels up there. But beyond that, I don't know. Those bear numbers were obviously taken as friendly yesterday, but they weren't really a shocking number. I mean, it's almost identical to some of the private estimates that had come out the week before from Australia. So you normally have to feed a bull. I don't see a lot more catalyst coming from that front for right now. So I would think that after a firmer opening this morning, apparently across the board, we could start to back off a little bit.
Any surprise that what we saw in wheat didn't carry over at all to corn yesterday?
Yeah, that was a little surprising, especially when it seems like there's, you know, with so much bullish sentiment in the corn market, there's sort of the green light for that to get run up a little bit and couldn't do it, which I would take as particularly disappointing for the corn market. So I think, you know, a lot of it just comes down to the timing, the fact that here we are with so much corn about to be harvested right around the corner. It's going to be difficult to get it off the ground. I think that made that avidly clear yesterday.
The corn call today?
Calling is just penny and a half better, something like that, going along with last night. But That would, you know, pretty much negate yesterday's action. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see us perk up, take another shot at the 50-day average up around 250, you know, maybe looking for some stops and so forth up there. But I think the resistance between 49 and 52 or so is awful heavy and going to have a real hard time getting above that.
Soybeans continues to waffle around its short-term downtrend line. Yesterday back under the 20-day moving average, and average it continues to waffle above and below. And this is more of the same today, I suppose?
Probably, yeah. I mean, a little bit of a bounce last night, but again, without the catalyst of that wheat market, which obviously didn't even help it yesterday, but if that's not even there at all, again, I think the specter of harvest pressure right around the corner is going to keep a pretty good lid on this bean market, in my opinion. A lot of people are trying to talk about harvest delays and the wetness in the forecast and all, but I think we'd have to go considerably more down the calendar before that really was taken seriously.
Thank you much, Clayton.
Okay, Dave. Thank you.
Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities in Champaign, Illinois. You're listening to WILO Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois.